Hi, this is David Kay, voice of Beast Wars Megatron and TFA Optimus. You are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Me, Grimlock, want to munch metal?
I'm Stan Bush, and it's your time to listen to all things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am TF2 and Mike. Joining me is Mikey from Moonbase 2. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are
you? I'm...
I'm alive, apparently. All evidence to the contrary. Hang on, I need to take a drink.
Yep.
I'm here. How are you?
Man,
what we call in the business recovery.
Yes. Sounds like that little bit of Irish whiskey in the coffee didn't go down.
I did that when there wasn't enough.
That's true too. Don't drink and drive, folks.
Do drive and drink.
Yes, please no. And today we're going to get Mikey's Transformers origin story here on All Things Transformers. Did you grow up with the brand, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
It wasn't really on TV. Like, I grew up with, like, Turtles. Turtles was a big, big thing for me when I was growing up.
Right.
And I was really, like, I was super into Turtles until I think about season 6 or 7. Just when they started bringing in the like big shift and aliens started coming in a lot more.
Yeah.
They changed all the villains, and I think it went on for like 5 more seasons after that, but I never saw
it. It has, I think, 9 or 10 seasons, but yeah, it ran from 87 to 96.
Yeah, by the time I was like of an age, Transformers wasn't really airing on Irish TV. And when Beast Wars hit, it was only airing on TV3, which was a brand new channel that most TVs couldn't get. And it took me about 20 minutes to tune it in. And I basically, the only time I bothered, like, Beast Wars aired, and I think I caught 3 episodes as a kid. One was Double Dinobot, which I remember distinctly. The other was Victory, which is what the one where the Predacons fake the win. Mm-hmm. And I think the last one was, what was, I think it was The Low Road.
One of the best episodes ever.
I like Low Road. Low Road's great.
You sure about this, chopper face?
I inflicted considerable damage on Tarantulas. He cannot have gone far, and he will no doubt have the countervirus.
Yeah? Well, you better hope so, for your sake.
Excuse me. Are you implying that the current situation is somehow my responsibility?
Well, you did start it, gearhead.
I beg to differ, cheese lips.
Pre-evolved bird brain, eater of garbage.
Sheesh, and they call me the immature one.
It's Scott McNeil yelling at himself. When is that not good?
Hey! We need Spider-Boy there to get the countervirus, hothead! And you know these caverns gotta lead to his lab!
I know nothing of the sort! For unlike you, I do not spend my time scurrying through sewers!
Yeah? Well, a sewer smells better than your breath, Bronto Brain!
You'll get used to it when I bite your useless head off!
No, it was guerrilla warfare. That was it. That was it. 3 Dinobot heavy episodes, actually, when I think about it. But it just kind of went by until it was my early teens, and basically I'd be up at like 6:30 or 7 for school, and I'd just be flicking through TV, and Armada was on TV, just like, and I was like way too old for it at the time, but I was just like, oh, okay, I'm a nerd and I want to watch cartoons and I don't have to prevent it anyone. And I just like, okay, 6:30 in the morning, I'd catch like 20 minutes or 50 minutes of a Transformers cartoon. And that's basically, like, I don't think I saw all of Armada until like 2010, like full episodes. But I didn't really get into it as like a hobby until I was about 21, 22. I was in university the first time around, and I was basically looking for something to watch. And right, I was just like, I remember hearing about these shows. And like, I ended up watching Beast Wars, and I watched U1, and I started watching, at the time there were the fan dubs on TFCOG of Victory, and they did a couple of episodes of Master Force and Headmasters. Mm-hmm. And then for some god-awful reason, Irish TV started airing on one of our satellite channels, the Star Dubs of Victory, Headmasters, and Master Force, which was a very strange experience to... where I will never be able to look at Blaster and not think, Billy! I would say it was the Cybertron era when I became the fan, because that was when I purchased my first proper, like, I am an adult buying a collectible toy figure thing, which was the Leader Class Cybertron Galaxy Force Optimus, which I had for a long time until he had an accident, unfortunately.
I was not prepared.
Oh boy.
He was on a shelf, and then he wasn't.
Fell down drunk, did he? That's what happens when you sleep on the job.
Yep, I had it way too fun.
What Transformers generation is your generation, and why?
Oh, God. Prime.
Really?
Prime, I think it's the best one. I think it's the best written. I think it's got the most engaging characters. I think it's by far the best animated. Like, I really like... There's lots of generation stories I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I'm talking my overall, like, long-term most invested story, it would be IDW. But mm-hmm. if we're talking, like, specific generations, mm-hmm. it would be Prime. I love animated. And I really enjoy Cyberverse. And I like the Japanese shows well enough. Like, Headmasters is pretty bad, but the other two are fun. But Prime is the one where I just started doing the podcast, and I was mm-hmm. talking about it weekly with people, and I was super invested in the characters. And then Knockout showed up, and I was just like, no, this is the best.
This is going to be juicy.
It was the one where I tried to get the most toys as well from the line. Mm-hmm. And the one I also spent a lot of time justifying bad ones. I spent a lot of time trying to convince people that Lux Knockout, he's not bad. He's fine.
He's bad.
I accept it now. But I do still want to croc. For years, I've never had one, but I do want to get that Beast Hunter's croc out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous.
So you mentioned animated, but what other generations of Transformers do you like?
Okay, one no one will ever say. Transformers, the Japanese Legends continuity. There's one. So it's the manga that was started being released with the Legends releases of the... God, it would have been Generations then, early Generations, and then it's just continued on into its own thing, and it spun off into basically every major toy line. The last story wrapped up there within the last year. I don't know if they're going to do any more, but it's insane, and it's weird, and it's incredibly Japanese, and it's the most referential thing in the world. It also has, like, the best Megatron, Mare Megatron, the Megatron with a tie. And it also has, like, Nightbird, the Klutz. It's done by Hayato Sakamoto, like, long-term, like, uber Transformers fan. Which is not, like, in Japan, Transformers has a very different reputation than it does over here. So, like, having someone who's an adult who's coming out and openly admitting, yes, I am into this, is actually a lot rarer than you might have over here. Hmm. Because it's much more associated with very young kids than here. Right, partially because, like, the guy who is in charge of dubbing it there is basically, like, he does Transformers shows still what we used to do to anime in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. And he came up with, like, he found every random continuity hole he could find in Generation 1 and plugged it. Like, Six Shot is now Great Shot because of a continuity thing he wanted to touch on. He touched on stuff from comics and one-shot things, and I love it. I love it to death. Like, apart from that, talking about things people really like, I love IDW. The original IDW one was my jam. It had its good and its bad, but like I'd say more good than bad. Cyberverse is something I'm really, really fond of, animated as well. G1 is one I have a great fun. I think I legitimately think this, and I say this without nostalgia. G1 is the best 1980s toy-based action cartoon. I think it's got the best quality animation of any of them. It's got the best character archetypes, and overall, the writing is a bit above the norm. It's still pretty damn flawed.
Yeah, but it has its flaws, but it's still
it's acting. It's interesting because unlike most of them, it really wants to play up the idea of conflict, and it wants you to like everyone on both sides. G.I. Joe doesn't necessarily care that you like Cobra, but it's nice if you do. Mm-hmm. Transformers wants you to like Transformers. They want you to think the Decepticons are as cool as the Autobots.
And they're not.
I mean, I think they are, but... you know who had more personality in the cartoon, for the most part? The Decepticons.
Yes, that's...
Hey, Skids.
That's true. Hey, Skid. At least until season 3. But yeah.
Well, actually, that's a weird thing. Season 3, the Decepticon roster shrunk dramatically.
Yeah, it did. And the Autobot roster basically grew exponentially, yeah.
But they fucked up Grimlock, so they get no love from me.
How did they fuck up Grimlock for you?
They made him a fucking child.
Okay, they...
They went from caveman to child.
You wrong! And you ugly, too! Me, Grimlock, say get rid of Decepticons!
Okay,
They get his two focus episodes are one where he's barely in it because Trypticon falls on him. Even though that is a good episode, I think Call of Primitives is a great crack and really well animated. And the other one is, I get to go into medieval world with Daniel. And I made the Technobots by turning into Smart Grimlock.
Hey, that's what I wanted, Smart Grimlock. You leave his new brain alone. I love Grimlock's new brain.
Grimlock? Grimlock, you here?
I'm occupied installing the multifaceted inverse thrusters. You're just in time to assist me.
But what do you do?
Skylinks and Cosmos are still in repair bay, and Omega Supreme is away on a mission. So I, Grimlock, am constructing a new Autobot shuttle. Sludge, I need you to balance the exhaust manifold on your back while I rivet it to the fuselage.
You no act like Dinobot, Grimlock. Me no like.
Grimlock no fun. Come on, we go hunting alone.
Brains.
You know what would have been better? If Grimlock, it was like a Halloween story of Grimlock stealing everyone else's brain to try and swap it out for his. Grimlock steals Perceptor's mind.
Oh, Lord. That would be hilarious. Yeah, I recently watched that one that you're talking about where him and Daniel fall into... basically the Transformers version of the Savage Land. And I was like, what the f-? Like, I know somebody who loves that episode and who considers it more in continuity or more of a part of the continuity than say something like Burden Hardest to Bear or whatever. Yeah. But I'm like, I watched it and I'm like, yeah, this is, and that's the thing. Transformers, He-Man, maybe not Thundercats, but Transformers and He-Man back in the 80s, they were come get your dose. So sometimes Transformers had two-parters. I think there's only one time in the 130-episode catalog of Filmation He-Man that it actually had a two-parter. But Transformers did have several multi-part episodes. But for the most part, they are single adventures. They are meant, and that's the way television was back then. It's not like today, where you expect the first 5 episodes of Prime to be all one big story, and then episode 6 is like Masters and Students or something, or I don't know, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a different time of how they were making them back then versus how they make them now. All right, let's get this one out of the way. Do you like or loathe the Bayverse, or are you just indifferent to it?
I think Bumblebee is very good. I accept the reality of why they exist, and I accept the benefit that they have brought into the franchise.
Yeah.
However, if you've got gun to... Also, Age of Extinction is the best one. If you've got a gun to my head... by the way, Age of Extinction is the best one because they stopped pretending and just made him murder Prime. But they're atrocious. They're atrocious films. Like, they get worse the more I see. It's not like I go back to 2007 once every 5 years and go like, wow, this is getting... I'm less critical of it. It's just like, oh no, now I can just see flaws. Nothing but flaws. Why is it 5 a.m., 4 p.m., 4, 6 p.m., 5 a.m., 4 p.m.? It's been 30 seconds. I think they're really bad, and I think creatively they had a really nasty little knock-on effect, which is Hasbro kind of got really comfortable in having this small repeating roster of characters.
Yeah.
Which I like has really kind of been driven home for me in recent years, but like there is no good one. Like people say there's a good one, there is no good one. There's just the one you like the best.
Yeah, the one thing I give those movies is Steve Jablonski and the music.
No, he did really good. I also think when he teamed up with Age of Extinction, who was it he had on the soundtrack he had for that? Imagine Dragons. Yeah. I thought that was fantastic. The two of them like really played off each other really well. I also think in the last night, Steve Jablonski sounded like he wanted to go home. But I think the soundtrack is far better than those movies deserve. Because he really went to town in it. Like it felt like he was the one guy on this in like the editing and everything else who was like, I want to make this really good. I like Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like the director and the writers were there because like we want to do Star Wars, we want to do Star Trek. we'll do this to get to those. And it was a strike, and Revenge of the Fallen happened, and we got to get the mud flap.
Revenge of the Strike.
speaking of which. I'm mildly terrified for Rise of the Beast because it's a bigger blockbuster movie and apparently there might be a writer's strike coming up. But, so and they've got like five factions in
it. Yeah, it's Autobots, Decepticons, Terracons, and something else.
Predacons and Maximals.
Oh, that's right. Duh, how can I forget those? Yeah, I think I shared this on Twitter. I'll send it to you again. I recently found a channel, Art of the Film on YouTube, or Art of Film on YouTube, where I believe it's the first four movies or something like that. It's at least the first three. They have compiled scenes from every Transformers live action film with just the sounds in the film. I've never had a more enjoyable time watching a Michael Bay movie. The sound effects of the movie. What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid?
Okay, so I was trying to remember this today because I had three. I picked up a few at random, not knowing what they were. So I had G2 Megatron. I got him off a rummage sale.
Okay.
Long before it occurred to me to hold on to him. For the love of God, hold on to him. Because I had so much fun sitting on my bed going Megatron attacks. And then I gave him to my cousin who broke him.
Oh no.
But I was a child and I was just like, oh no, you broke my toy. Not, oh no! Mommy!
Yeah, oh no, you broke my financial security, you bastard. You broke
my college fund.
That's right.
Little did we all know then. for the 5 minutes that was actually a thing, and now it's like, eh. I also had, they weren't the Predators, they were the car equivalent of the Predators. Spark something, I want to say. I'm going to double check this actually while I'm talking about it, but I had one of them, and I distinctly remember having him, because I used to, I thought he was like a speed racer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was who he was, and I had Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So he was really fun. I actually thought he was a Ghostbusters toy because, you know, he's modeled after a Ghostbusters thing. But, I remember as well, I got a Transmetal Cheetor just randomly in a shop. It was like, I was that, buy that or buy a Zoid, and I didn't know which one I wanted. And I distinctly remember Cheetor because I turned, I used to pretend he was a submarine in the bath. So it was always a thing. It was just like, ah, there he goes. I'd flip the tail around, so it'd be like a shark fin.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
Well, that's how I spent my childhood, which probably sums up so much.
Oh wow, that's funny.
The Turbo Masters. That was it. It was the Turbo.
Oh yes, Turbo Masters. And yes.
Thunderclash was one of them. Who did I have? I didn't have Boss. I didn't have Flash. I had Hurricane. That's the one I had.
Very cool.
With a little white Porsche. But like, it's Porsche in the way that, you know, Hot Rod's a sports car kind of thing. I just like, it's a space car.
Yeah. It's a space car that eventually is going to turn into a space Winnebago.
The ultimate vehicle mode.
That's right. Now this is a silly, I remember this briefly, but this is the reason why this question is here. When I was a kid at like recess at school and stuff, we would, instead of playing with our actual toys, it wasn't called this back then. And I'm kind of glad that this term has gone out of popularity, live action role play. LARPing. Did you grow up, you know, when you growing up, did you and your friends ever pretend to play Transformers at, say, school or recess or something? Like, I'm Mikey and I'm going to be Astrotrain or, you know, Double Dealer or something.
No, we were Power Rangers. That was what we LARPed at.
Yes. There you go.
We LARPed through the Rangers. Mostly because like a couple of us had the roleplay toys, so we just run around trying to whack each other at the school. And the teacher screaming like, stop hitting him! And I was just like, we should get her next.
That's right. After the teachers. That's right. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick four characters. Mm. A Decepticon, an Autobot, a Maximal, and a Predacon.
Okay, easy. Actually, no, these are all complicated for me. Maximal or Predacon? I mean, it's Dinobot, but where do I put him?
What can you possibly do?
Improvise.
I'll put him on Maximal. So okay. Dinobot is probably almost inarguably the best development of a character we had on television in Transformers. He's exquisitely well done. Predacon, Waspinator.
Oh, sir, don't mind Waspinator. Waspinator just lie here and suffer, drag himself to see our tank.
It has to be Wasp. That poor long suffering. But like a guy who suffers entirely because they didn't want to write for him. Is that like, and then like, what was it? Hasbro tried to get rid of him at end of season one. They're just like, no, people like him. We should keep him.
I know exactly how I'm closing this podcast out now, folks.
Autobot, it actually gets a little bit more complicated because my two favorite, like, non-Beast Wars characters are Grimlock and Autobot Megatron.
That's cool. Yes.
Like, comic, I think Grimlock is, like, old school, long time favorite. Like, even before I knew what Transformers were, I knew what he was. And, like, I think, like, the fact that, like, he's Furman's favorite meant that he ultimately got, like, certainly Marvel the most the most consistent and best character development. Mm-hmm. And like he's been such a prominent thing in so many different continuities, and it's very rare that the version of Grimlock I don't have something nice to say about. All About Megatron, I just think is fantastic. I've got the Flame Toys kit behind me at the moment, and I really wanted to get the Mastermind Creation third party one, but I didn't have the money at the time. But yeah, I think like for considering like he was basically just foisted on James Roberts because someone at Hasbro liked the idea and thought, oh, this will like make your season 2 pop. Do something with him. And James, certainly for More Than Meets the Eye, really, really worked well with him and developed him. And like, I always think it's very strange when people say, like, he's Megatron, he can't be redeemed, I don't know why we're doing this story. And it's like, it's not a redemption arc.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's not an absolute, you know, this is the arc of like, what happens if someone, you know, something we'd never have in the real world, which is someone who has done something monumentally terrible has a legitimate change of heart and we don't just shoot them on sight.
No one does that to me and continues to function.
Like, how, what did that play out? Like, how do relationships form with a person like that? Because your previous relationships are with a figurehead, a negative figurehead, but with a figurehead. Whereas now you have to deal with the person. And like, I thought there's a good line from Rodimus in Lost Light, which is like, some go like Megatron, and he just turns around like, he's not so bad when you get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love the relationship he develops with the Lost Light crew. And yeah, no, Megatron, I think it just fantastic, because I really sympathize with him. I really sympathize with Lost, like, I did terrible things and now I regret them. Like, having lived a life like that, like, I think it, and like, great design. Alex did a really, really good design for him as well. So one of them, I'm not going to try and pick which one because that would take me about half an hour. And just general Decepticon, I would say Knockout. It's fucking course. Knockout. Knockout is a beautiful person.
Okay, you got my attention. What do you want?
We're prisoners of war. We have rights. When are we going to have access to an oil bath?
Well, when are you going to tell me where I can find your pals?
Oh, I told you before. Shockwave had dozens of secret labs hidden across Cybertron. Top secret.
A shame. Your finish is looking pretty drab.
I don't know where they are, I swear. But I have an idea where you might try looking.
He is a wonderful person and deserves all the hugs.
Mm-hmm. What are some other Transformers characters you like?
I like Detsaurus a lot, largely because he's just a big flying kaiju chicken. But he's so much fun in Victory because he's like just the most paper thin evil villain. But he whoever was doing the Japanese voice was loving it. So Detsaurus is really fun. I like Aileron. Aileron's somebody really, really grew on me. Windblade's another one, really, really good, grew on me. IDWRC, I think, is great. I think John did a really good job with her. Same with Shockwave, actually. But outside of like the comic-specific ones, Lockdown is a long-term favorite. Lockdown's really, really good. I had a lot of affection for Armada Starscream growing up. When I was watching it, but I just, since I became an adult, I never really revisited it, so I don't really know if there's anyone from that era anymore that I would be really interested in. Cyberverse has lots of really good characters. I think Cyberverse really deserves credit for what it did with Hot Rod and Clobber.
Yeah,
like they were excellent. What they did with that, like, fantastic work on them. There's a lot of, like, you know, if you're a Transformers fan, like, you can pick out your couple of characters, but it's always going to be, like, reams of them that you're just like, listen, do you want me to make out a list in terms of, like, order of height?
We already did that.
I'm slightly miffed. If I voted on what my personal favorites were instead of, like, towards the end, instead of what I think, like, are the most significant for the franchise, I could have really screwed that over. I could have done some serious damage to that list.
Are there any Transformers characters you hate?
Oh, hate, such a strong word. No one likes Wheelie. Even people who like Wheelie don't like Wheelie. I'm not in love with animated Bumblebee. He was a character, the archetype's fine, but they were in it. They had the problem where they were telling a linear story with a lot of character development and progression, and yet he thinks he's in an 80s show. So he keeps repeating the same mistake over and over again. The entire cast of Transformers Energon, possibly the exception of Scorponok, until they mind wiped him, because they mind wiped everyone. Also the entire cast of the Machinima trilogy, but that's just because that thing can. It's weird. Transformers is not a fiction I really feel like. I think the thing about Transformers characters, when I dislike them, it's usually because I'm supposed to. There's even if I go for human characters, like Miko, I had a real problem with, but I think she grew up as the series went on. I'd rather the writers grew up and how they were writing her.
I thought I told you to hit autopilot.
Bad things happen to bots when I leave their side.
Welcome to the Wreckers, kid. You did Bulkhead proud.
Then why don't I feel any different?
Kicker's terrible, but again, he's an Energon. and like stuff like that, like they don't. It's rare. There's no one like, oh my god, they did this, and I think they're awful. Like, there's no one I really feel that emotionally negative to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or get weaker?
Peaks and troughs. Probably in a trough at the moment, if I'm honest. My collection's the smallest it's been in years. And the fiction isn't really grabbing... Like, Cyberverse I'm looking forward to, but overall, the fiction isn't grabbing me at the moment. And not the engineering, but the creative decisions made for the toys are also turning me off.
Really?
I am not one possessing of a great deal of Generation 1 nostalgia.
Okay.
And I really came into toy buying. Like, Galaxy Force was the first one, but I came in classics. That was when I was, like, actively hunting toys.
Okay.
Which I think was a great period. Like, new designs, new approaches, everything else. And then over the next few years, we'd have a lot of original characters and new designs and new takes. And then you get hit Generations, and it was just like, okay, here's a cool redesign of Jazz, and here's a cool redesign of Tankor, and blah, 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 blah. And since, I'd say, Power of the Primes was when they had no idea what they were doing with toy line. And some of them worked, some of them didn't. They basically just took a bunch of gimmicks from other toy lines and stuck them together. And then the War for Cybertron trilogy happened, and it became, hey, do you know these five characters? Yeah. Well, you're going to get them a lot looking exactly the same, maybe with some retools, and occasionally someone interesting. And I really, Kingdom brought it back for me a bit, but then the legacy reveals from PulseCon knocked me back a bit as well. Just the aggressive Generation 1 of it. Like I said, I think it's part of that. Hasbro found success and is now no longer taking risks. And in terms of toys, like, I'd really like some new characters. Cyberverse had some great characters, but their toy designs were not given the budget. And they were going, like, for most part, do Warrior class, which is, like, a gimmick-laden mess. And then they got deluxes, but those deluxes weren't given proper budget either. So I'm definitely in a low point. I had a bit of a disappointment a couple of weeks back, actually, because I had a pre-order in for the Mastermind, or the Planet X IDW Grimlock. I was super excited for that. And, like, just in the last few weeks, a bit of financial shift, and I was just like, nope, can't afford it. Maybe I'll get it in the new year if I'm lucky. I still have, like, several figures I am absolutely, like, second I have money I am picking them up, like Megatronia is a big one. I would love a Megatronia. A few of the beasts I'm getting, the Jurassic Park set that's coming out, a few of the Kingdom ones are definitely up there. Like, I'm really looking forward to an Inferno, if the rumors are to be believed. I'm weirdly interested in that orange Tigatron,
the mutant Tigatron.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, I think the paint job's better, to be completely honest. And then stuff like that, like, it's just a low. I don't think it's going to last. Like, something will refire me, like it always had before. I got, like, my toy collecting just shifted a bit. Like, I got very into model kits over the last couple of years. So, I like, most of my Transformers purchases recently have been Flame Toys. The Flame Toys kits. So, I've got some of them on pre-order, and I'm waiting for them to come in. But, yeah, it's definitely in a low point-ish at the moment. But, like, I don't think that's necessarily me going, like, well, I'm done with the hobby now. Time to grow up and move on. Look over the hills and stuff on the brighter side. Notice things like women, jobs, mortgage. Because that secret, that the hobby never really got in the way of any of those. Thank you very much.
Which is, but, it's funny you say that, because the very next question, was there ever a moment in your life when you were completely through with everything Transformers?
I suppose my early years when I didn't know what it was.
Well, I mean, that's no. I mean, like you were saying, you're not that big of a fan of the Power of the Prime, which I completely understand the mission, whatever. But like you were saying,
I got really angry at Energon as I was watching it live. Like, really, because like I said, I was familiar with the Armada stuff, and I'm a continuity nerd. So, like, the whole Cybertron as part of the Unicron trilogy to me is ludicrous. They're not even on the American side, they don't fit. They didn't even try to make it fit. But Energon was just like, hey, here's all these characters. And reset button. And reset button. And reset button. And now you're going to spend all your time with Kicker. You love Kicker.
No, he's cool like you. Look, no, he's not.
He's got a white jumpsuit and can kick a Transformer, and that's cool.
No, it's not.
I would just, like, go to hell. Like, the entire Power of the Prime show can die in a fire. It was atrocious. It was inexcusably bad.
I liked certain aspects of it, but as I'm thinking about it right now, the only thing I can remember is the Joker voicing one of the characters, Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Like, and that's exactly all, like,
giving it a game performance. No. Like, sassy Megatron, I think everyone loved, because, like, it was this weird thing that worked, and we're just, Megatron's just this sassy bitch the entire show. Yeah. Just like, what's Megatron doing? Making everyone else feel bad. Ah. But, yeah, it's, that was a rough, but now, that was just like, I was just like, why are you even trying anymore? Was kind of like the feeling I had in my head then. But I always found the Machinima stuff kind of insulting. I was like, this is meant for adults. We're going to have Megatron say piss because it's meant for adults. Look at this violence for adults. And I was just like, I watch Prime. Like, this isn't violent.
Yeah.
I watch animated. This isn't violent.
Yeah, no.
Oh, look, Jason David Frank is voicing a character. Oh, my God.
I thought that was kind of cool.
The idea is cool, but I would never hire him to be a voice actor.
Which he has obviously leaned into this, as he should. It's his legacy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think because as a kid or as a teenager, however old he was in 1993 or 1994 or 1995, and I've interviewed the guy, I've talked to the guy, this is a decade ago now, but I have always felt that because of the path that he went on, he more than anybody else has got locked into this thing of he's Tommy Oliver.
Like,
that's who he is. Like, it doesn't matter what color he's wearing. It could be red, white, blue, green, purple. It doesn't matter. He's always going to be Tommy motherfucking Oliver. And that's, you know, look at Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith got, at least in my personal opinion, Andy Griffith got to play two very iconic roles. The sheriff on the Andy Griffith Show. And then Ben Matlock. You know, you look at somebody like David Hasselhoff, Michael Knight, Mitch Buchanan, you know, Knight Rider with talking cars, Baywatch with hot babes, and then there's David Hasselhoff, yeah, kind of thing. But invaded most Germany. Of hey, they loved him over there. But anyway, but you know, it's one of those things where out of everyone I can ever think of, Jason David Frank is the one actor, the one person who is so, and I don't want to say stuck, but I'm going to say stuck slash invested in that one role that he did almost 30 years. Oh, God, we are 2 years away from the 30th anniversary of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yep.
Oh, as God, I'm old. All right. Question 12. With the internet giving birth to the fans all having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers, do you find your voice getting lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
I mean, I don't know why anyone would listen to me in the first place, to be completely honest. I don't think I have. I don't know. People would say, like, oh, the podcast's been going on for years and everything else like that. Like, I don't think people necessarily, like, pay attention to my voice. Like, if I said an opinion on Transformers, it's not like it would get, like, front-paged on TFW. It's just like, oh, my God, well-known Transformers fan, podcast open Mikey O'Sullivan said that Megatron can shove it up his ass. like, that's not going to get front-paged anywhere. Like, I don't know. Like, I developed an interesting relationship with that kind of stuff. Years ago, I was very invested on, like, being a figure. Mm-hmm. Being like, oh, I want to say something. I want people to know I've said it. And, like, these days, it's a horrible lot of things. Like, I say what I want. If people don't get it, that's their business. And, like, I don't feel the need to shout louder anymore because I'm really only talking for myself. Everyone else is kind of secondary in those things. Like, I no longer expect to have my opinions validated or for my opinions to carry weight in the Transformers fandom. I don't think necessarily it's a good idea for fans to feel like their opinion is weighty necessarily, because I don't want to talk about like the whole parasocial thing, but it is a thing like it's an environment where we're all shouting on Twitter in 100 and whatever characters, and you think you think, oh, this person is saying this thing, then they mean this. And it's like, well, that, or they couldn't fit the rest of this into this one tweet. So, yeah, I think my voice probably comes closer to being lost in the crowd, but it doesn't encourage me to shout louder.
I just feel, and I felt this way even before 2015, 2016, I would say since about 2013. And I have no disrespect to any of the Japanese versions, but for me, all generations matter, whatever you like. If we can start a conversation about how green G2 Megatron is and how much money he isn't going to be worth or is going to be worth in 40 years, like, great, fine. If you like whatever, if you like this or you like that or you like Armada, or if it's going to I am actually going to leave silence in a podcast if I ever ask somebody the favorite character question and somebody says, I really like Kicker. I don't think anybody, unless they just haven't seen any other version of Transformers, will ever say that. But my thing is, whatever you like it. If we can like it, if it's something we both enjoy, let's discuss it. If there's something I don't like that you do, okay, I have a healthy respect for that, and I will support you enjoying that kind of thing. So when I say all generations matter to me when it comes to Transformers, that came way before anything that has happened in the United States in the last 5 years. Because I've been saying it a hell of a lot longer than that. Okay. What is your personal Transformers anthem song? It does not have to be these examples I will give, but something like The Touch or Dare or insert whatever here.
Yeah. Something like what gets stuck in my head the most. So just because like I do watch an inordinate amount of Japanese media, the two that really stick in my head are the animated Japanese opening. We'll be right back. Which I believe was Jam Project, which is very good. And it also has like a really good like visual, like the visuals to go along with that are excellent. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think more because like I like the way I like the song a lot, but I also like the way it's edited. Mm-hmm. The opening is edited. Ignition, the second opening from Galaxy Force.
Okay.
Which is a little different from what you'd usually get for Japanese Transformers openings, but like there's just this wonderful like it's got lots of energy, and it's also got like very classical like low keys of just like it's all sort of somber now, and then it goes like hype, but there's just this moment that always gets me to start. You're watching the opening and it just goes da 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 da, and it just goes bang. And like they edit in a cut in of one of the characters just zooming into shot, and it's so well timed. And like the visuals that follow, like it's weird for me. Like with openings and intros and stuff like that, always like as much as the song matters, like how I associate the visuals. Maybe if we're talking just like songs. I mean, from the 86 one, I'd say I'd go more with Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Than most of the other ones.
Do you know what I'll say?
Because it's underrated. The soundtrack from Transformers Devastation, which is just which is going to be released for streaming soon. That is a friggin' banger.
Yes, it is.
So.
And I wasn't going to reveal this until much later, folks, but this episode will be out before then.
Mm.
I, at some point, hopefully November 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th, will actually be finally coming to the Geekcast Radio Network and all things Transformers after years of asking apparently the wrong people. But now that I've actually found the right person to ask, I will be talking with Vince DiCola and Kenny Ooh. Meredith in celebration of Devastation's release, finally.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, that's just prime.
How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
I'm in the middle of a slightly slowed prime rewatch at the moment. I'll watch, like, I rewatched Cyberverse there recently as well. I'll very rarely do like a full rewatch, mm-hmm. if I'm honest. But like specific episode rewatches are very frequent, very very frequent. I've been meaning to rewatch Victory, just because and Master Force actually, just because of all the talk about the Victory Saber figure. But yeah, like I'd say like at least there will be a Transformers series every year.
Mm.
Like it's not a full series and like a good chunk of it. Like I said, like Cyberverse is really easy to rewatch for, thankfully, because it's like short. But I'd say I'm more likely to go back for a reread than a rewatch.
Okay.
So like I will reread probably at least one Transformers ongoing or volume every few months.
Mm.
It's been a while since I've done. Last one I did from Marvel was the Unicron story at the end of it.
It's funny, folks. He's never seen these questions, and yet he's answering them before I can ask them. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
IDW. IDW 1 specifically. I think it is overall the most creative we've ever been. It's the Cyberverse, I think, is the bravest TV story. IDW is probably the bravest one altogether. Like, once you hit, like, it's okay, it's decent in the Simon Furman era, And then it hits the ongoing and all hell Megatron, and it's struggling. And then we're into the Barber editorial era, as I call it. The Barberts era, James and John period. And what they got away with creatively is nothing short of astounding. From everything like the big one that gained more than meets the eye attention, like introducing of just out and out gay homosexual relationships in Transformers, to how John handled RC, and to developing her into a proper trans character was really interesting. Soundwave was how John handles that. Like John ultimately would be the one I come back to more, but Soundwave is excellently handled that. The way IDW Optimus is my favorite Optimus because of how John wrote him. And Prowl would be another one. But like the entire way Morgan Meets the Eye played off of these like introducing tropes and genres we've never really touched on before. And then as we got into the wider things, we got really good stories like Rom versus Transformers, which I think is an underrated gem. And I think Unicron is an excellent ending. I think all the books at the time actually ended on a really, really high note. I love Thundercracker entirely because of those books, and Thundercracker should marry Marissa, and if he hasn't, he probably is going to, and we all know it. We all need to accept it, and it's fine. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. I thought it was a wonderful creative time for us. And I think it's going to be something that Transformers fiction is going to be chasing for a good few years. Trying to hit those highs again.
I think. The sad thing is we've covered 3 volumes of the new universe, and I think they're already chasing their tail.
Well, yeah, no, there's a fair bit of that. I also think like it's really, really obvious they left themselves, sales have been dipping. We're going to bring back the Morgan Meets the Eye crew.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah. Oh, we've gone into another universe. Which universe could it be?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I'm just like half forming thoughts now. Like I will say, like the mini series at the moment are what I've got my eyes on. Like Shattered Glass, wow, is that better than I thought it was going to be?
I have the first 2 issues. I have not read them yet. I will read them.
Be surprised. Prepare to be surprised. And King Grimlock is fun. I'm enjoying King Grimlock.
Anything with Grimlock is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You know,
Grimlock as Conan the Barbarian is not something I ever realized I needed.
For me, it's more of like with Shattered Glass, like I personally believe the fiction, the toys and all of that dealing with BotCon 2008 and 2011, the very first Shattered Glass year and the very first animated year at BotCon were the 2 best box sets, fiction, all of that. And I always wanted to read more from that Shattered Glass thing. And I'm really interested to check out the new one to see how Danny does it and whatever else in the writing and the art and all that stuff. So,
yeah, they took an interesting angle with it.
Cool. All right. Switching over to toys, how big or small is your Transformers toy collection?
At its biggest, it was a couple of hundred. At the moment, like a lot of stuff's packed away. I'm just looking behind me now. I've got maybe 30 out in the shelves right now.
Hmm.
But like, I have a thing where like, if I'm not interested in a toy anymore, I'll usually just give it away.
Okay.
So I've gotten like, if I ever showed you like the amount of boxes I've just handed over to people, it's like, there you go, that's yours now. Just because like it's a toy, it's meant to be enjoyed. If it's not being enjoyed at the moment, like it, and do I want to go through the faff of trying to like sell? Here's a $10 toy with $10 shipping and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no.
Someone who would enjoy it. Like, find someone who's got a kid or find someone who's, like, a fan or a would-be fan or something like that. Like, and, like, it's this, yeah, like, at the moment, I don't have a ton out. Like I said, a lot of flame toys. But I am hopefully in the next year or so going to be filling out some gaps, some grail gaps.
Very cool, very cool. Now, this has a specific angle to it, but in general, how do you feel about non-transforming Transformers toys?
They're very good, and we should have more of them. Many more. Please don't. I mean, not necessarily the Red Series, because the Red Series was like basically someone gave me a golden baby and then said, oh, look, the baby's dead. no okay. baby for you. But no, I adore them. I think they're a wonderful thing. And like, I think they are something that we have weird hangups about. But I also think they're a really good way of getting people into the franchise from other collection avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, there's a fella called SF Debris. I watch a lot of his stuff, and he did a really interesting overview of the history of how Transformers was made. He does like Star Trek for the most part, but he's like it's like a 3-part mini documentary, and it's really worth your time if you've never seen it. But he made a point, like what made Transformers work where GoBots didn't was the emphasis on character. GoBots was about the toys. Transformers got you liking the characters, and that made you want to buy the toys. And like, especially when you're talking about people wanting perfect representations of character models and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you want a perfect representation of a Generation 1 Optimus Prime that is affordable, or if you want a really stupidly high-end posable version of Tarn, or if you want a Prime figure, it really has to go non-transforming.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I think the move into model kits was very good. I haven't picked up any from the Bumblebee movie yet, but I probably will try to pick up at least Blitzwing. But I think they're good. I think that they open up a playing angle. I also think it's an interesting thing when you see people who are against it, because frequently, not always, but frequently I do notice like it's the people who, for them, Transformers is their collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, like, I've collected toy lines from a ton of different things. So to me, like, action figures are in themselves as good. Like, I'm as interested in an action figure with a really good accessory kit as I am, like, a deluxe figure with a really good transformation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
I'd like them to kill the red line. And please don't make me buy that RC. I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it.
I don't know why they made her brown. That's dumb.
Or out of glue. Horrible rubbery glue.
So a follow-up question to that, which isn't on the list, seeing as how they now have actually good versions of them.
Mm.
How do you feel about Funko Transformers?
Trax is terrifying.
I've only ever seen the one picture. I have only ever seen that non-close-up, this is at New York Comic Con. This is coming next. But I haven't seen a better picture of him yet.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the way I'd put it. I'm not against the idea.
Okay.
I don't connect with Funko on an aesthetic level. But the Mighty Mugs they did, more recently, actually, the ones with the changeable faces and the different expressions, those I really, really liked. I thought they were really fun. I thought the art style was fun. The super deformed head was a good laugh. But, like, I just don't love Funko. Like, I bought a few Funkos in my time, and I've just, like, they've been there, and I'm just like, I just don't like you. Like, you're not... It's nothing you've done. Like, it really is. It's more me than you in this relationship here. But it's like, you've done nothing wrong. I just don't want you in my house. Like, now, my parents. But
oh, stop it. Stop it. I, like... So, yes, I collect Funkos. Everybody knows this by now. Everyone's listened to this podcast knows this. I collect them because they have things that no other toy line has, like a really good, even though it's a Funko version of him, but a really good comic book guy action figure from The Simpsons. Funko has a pop of him, or the Gopher from Caddyshack, or Lil Sweet from the Diet Dr. Pepper ads, or some, you know, something like that. But I also collect the other franchises that I love. Like, I have TerraClaw's Skeletor sitting right next to King Randor right here. Mm. Or right here, as you can hear, listeners, I have the giant jumbo 10-inch Soundwave with a giant head. Oh, wow. Rumble almost fell out of his chest. And, no, seriously. When I dropped him, the cassette moved because I have the door open. So when they announced the Jumbo Soundwave, the big, big, big figure, they showed off, oh, he's going to come with 3 or 4 cassettes. I was like, oh, awesome. They must just have, because they have the cassette door. But they must, I thought at the bottom of the cassette door or around the cassette door, they were just going to have like this insert where you, oh no. I was surprised as all hell when I got this thing out of the giant ass box. The door, the cassette door actually opens. I was like, ooh, yay, that's fun. And then everybody was complaining about this because they were like, but he only comes with three tapes because they only show you Rumble, Frenzy, Ravage, and Buzzsaw. Hmm. So when I got him and I looked at Buzzsaw, I looked at Ravage first because I'm a big Ravage guy more than anything else. I looked at, I'll just say it, Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red. I looked at both.
Calling them Frumble now, to be completely honest.
Yeah. I looked at both of those, and on the back of those, they like on the front, they have the blue design with the what is supposed to be the rub sign, whatever else. On the back, they have the other part of the design that you would see on the original toy. Well, on Buzzsaw, they have a reverse of him, but they don't have a reverse of whatever his backside would be. On the back, and I love this because I think it's great because I always preferred this character over Buzzsaw. Mm. On the back of Buzzsaw is Laserbeak's design. So technically,
oh, that's really cool.
So technically, you have four cassettes, even though, and you do. You have four, you know, Buzzsaw and Laserbeak are one, and then Ravage, Rumble, Frenzy are the other three. You know what I mean? So yeah, no, I absolutely love that. I dug that because I thought, When a couple of people were doing video reviews of this thing, it was like, oh, he only comes with three. And I'm like, you're not looking at it. You're not looking at the back of that.
That's look quite at clever, the back. Actually.
Yeah, it is. I thought it really, really was. Hmm. All right. What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever? So the best example I can give to this is the house is on fire, but every human pet, every being is safe. But what's the one toy you'd run into save?
My Masterpiece Grimlock, because it was a gift from a lot of friends for something that happened back in 2011, and it was signed by Greg Berger. And yeah. I have had that. It's one of the only times I've ever kept a box. I've had it now for nearly 10 years, and hopefully I'll have it for 20 or 30 or 40 years more.
there you go.
Or 50, or by the time I'm of that age, we'll probably all be robots, so I don't know. But
I'll probably be gone by that time, but yeah.
We'll clone you. It'll be fine.
Nobody wants a clone of me. Nobody wants me in general, so a clone of me would be worse.
Infinite replication. But yeah, no, that'll be with me as long as it's in one piece. Hmm. Probably a bit longer than that.
Yeah. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
Many, but not to do with Transformers. Okay. That time I came home and all my Power Rangers toys were gone. That time I came home and all the Turtle toys were gone.
Oh, no.
That time I came home and all my video games were gone. Including my Final Fantasies, which I just bought. That time I came home and my PlayStation was gone. Because they said, okay, well, you've got a PlayStation 3 now. I'm just like, I can't play this on that. They're like, what? It's a PlayStation. Just like, do you not know the bullshit they're starting to pull? the advantage of not getting into Transformers until later in life was that, like, the only one who chose mine away are me. Mm. Like, I've come back and my niece has stolen a bunch of stuff, but I usually am able to get at least one back off her.
Hmm. Very cool, very cool.
She's small, I can beat her up.
Hey, 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 we don't promote that kind of stuff around here.
It's self-defense, she goes for the ice.
Just wait until she's taught to go somewhere lower.
Listen, she can manage that on her own just by walking.
If you could voice any Transformers character, who would it be and why?
This is weird, but Prime, because at least it wouldn't be someone doing a Cullen impression.
That's true.
Because I can't.
you can't make your voice sound like this.
No one can, as demonstrated by the fact that no one has been able to. I think Cyberverse is a great show. Just let him act. Just let the man act. Not Peter Cullen. Doesn't have to be. Same applies to Worf Cybertron. But weirdly enough, the first place my brain went was Outback. And I don't know why.
I can see an Irish version of Outback. That'd be cool.
Just for me, like, Outback is fun, but it's like, when I think Outback, I think spot like Cub.
Yeah.
Where he's dead.
Oh.
And then, like, flashbacks where he's like, oh, and he was an asshole beforehand. So it's just like, ah, sure, Cup, now I'm haunting you. Isn't it wonderful? Ah, do you know what you should do, Cup? You should stab that nice alien in the face. Ah, he'll be fine. He'll be grand. No one will mind. It's grand. Ah, it's a bit of blood. No, just clean right out. It'll be grand. Sorted.
Okay, we've recorded stuff a couple of times before. Never more than right now do I want you to say, oh, me lucky charms.
Oh, me lucky charms. And I told a woman last night, she can have me lucky charms until the morning comes. I should say.
Oh, my God.
That is something someone actually said to a human woman, whose response was, get away from me, you drunk. And she was right to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Who is your favorite Transformers actor or voice actor? They're all actors, but
yes, Darren Norris is very good. Like, Darren Norris is like this weird one-off magical casting. Like, there's a lot of the classic ones that are just like, they are absolute masters of their craft.
Yeah,
like, it is inarguable. Like, you don't have to like the Cullen Prime, but you can just say, like, Cullen is, like, phenomenal at his job.
Yeah.
Frank Welker is better, because it's Frank Welker and he's better at everything. But, like, Frank Welker is the sound effect of, like, the last 30 years.
40, but yeah.
Yeah.
40 plus, actually, if you think about everything he's done, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a couple of the Cyberverse ones. I think give him a little bit more experience, and I think you're going to get something good out of him. Like, what was his name? Mark something, who does Soundwave.
Oh, Mark Swint. He's a friend, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Swint. He does Grimlock as well, doesn't he?
We did it! The ship! The Judge! They're gone!
Quintessence inferior. Cybertronians superior.
I don't know off the top of my head.
But his take on Soundwave, one, that's a great character, but two, his delivery of those lines is excellent. Like,
yes, it is.
Like, that's a, like, occasionally to the point where I feel like he's actually rising above some of the voice direction. But he's very good at that role, and I would love, he's one of those guys, like, stick around, mate, stick around. I want to see what you do in the future. So if you're listening, Mark, well done. Long time fan, first time caller. Sue Blue, another classic, absolute classic. Actually, if I'm talking like modern, I think animated had the best cast.
Yeah,
David Kaye blew my mind. As like, it is my favorite TV Prime. Animated Prime is the best TV Prime. I really will accept no arguments. Jeff Bennett,
Prowl.
Jeff Bennett as Prowl was really, really good. Megatron in that is phenomenal. Corey Burton did a great job. Corey Burton plays so many characters in that. Bumper Johnson, I thought, was great. I really wish we saw a bit more of him.
Bumper Robinson, but yeah.
Robinson, sorry. Again, I haven't seen him since one show.
Right, yeah.
11, 13 years ago, whatever it was now. Lance Henriksen kind of stole the show for me, though. Because Lance Henriksen is a very good lockdown.
Yeah.
Very good. I think we're actually been a bit blessed with that, because we've never had a bad cast. We've had bad direction and bad scripts, but we've never had a bad cast, I think.
Yeah, it's not the cast's fault if the direction is incorrect.
Hello, War for Cybertron.
I will say that I love, and I hope we can get him on for an interview at some point. I do love Jake Fushi's and I love Marnosha's Megatron.
Oh, Frank Marnosha is the best thing to come out of the Machinima trilogy.
Yeah, Jason Megatron. Frank Todaro was Starscream.
Frank Todaro, that's who I was thinking of. Frank Todaro is also very good, but like Jason Minocha, fantastic take on the character.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Especially since he's playing the heroic Megatron as well. Like,
yep.
That was such a good one. And I think Jake Foshi is like, he has such talent and potential if they just let him do his own take on the character.
Yeah.
Like, every time I hear it, I'm just like, God, I can hear your, like, you are delivering these lines, like, sometimes they're really good, well delivered. Like, I think he really added a lot of character to Cyberverse Prime that was not on the page. Yeah. Because Hasbro will not take their foot off of Optimus.
Yeah. I think the thing with Jay, and it's not his fault. I don't blame him. Again, I blame the voice direction. The biggest problem I have with Jake voicing Optimus is when they want him to get emotional. So if and I'm not trying to put on an Optimus voice here.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I am talking like this to you, and even if it's Netflix War for Cybertron slow, at least my voice stays level. But oh my God, if I go up here, like his entire Jake Fushi's entire voice changes as it's not even doing a Cullen anymore. It's trying to do an exasperated Cullen.
When stuck with me, it was in Siege, where like we're not Decepticons. And he goes, "We are not Decepticons."
Yeah,
it's like Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
but like you could do that line very well if you were doing it in a very different way.
in a normal Optimus Prime voice. Yeah.
Like someone said, like shout every emotive line. That way, they will know you feel. I like. Okay, can I just say, for a guy his age, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's a kid. That's right. All right, so they haven't made it yet, so it can't be anything that has already been released or is currently slated to be released.
Yeah.
What is your dream masterpiece figure?
If gun to my head, okay, this is a really weird one, and people who hear this are gonna just be shaking their fucking head at me. Mega Empress.
Oh, that is okay.
I want a masterpiece Mega Empress. I think the Megatronia Megatronia is the best repaint we've ever had, because it took a combiner I thought had a really negative color scheme and made it fantastic. And Mega Empress is the best example of that. And I want one with crazy Japanese posability, because that figure deserves it. And like a few swappable faces as well would be nice. But yeah, like I'm ridiculously happy that Nightbird's coming with a Legends face. I am ridiculously happy.
Yeah, that is very cool.
I am so stupidly happy about that. But, if honest to God, like, if it was just, like, if you could do anything, it would be something like Mega Empress. Like, something, I don't know, just, like, I love Off the Wall, and it doesn't get more off the wall than whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mega Empress. Also, it's a really good-looking toy.
Yeah. So I mentioned it before, but where do you stand on the Rumble is Blue, Frenzy is Red, or Rumble is Red, Frenzy is Blue debate?
I mean, I do have to echo Protoman. They are black and purple.
Yeah, I agree.
But Frumble. Their name is Frumble, because different ones for different mediums. Like, I always find it interesting how Hasbro is seemingly at war with itself about stuff like this. They can't keep it any more straight than we can. Listen, I always think of Rumble as the inverted commas blue one, because the cartoon, he was the one doing the talking, because Frenzy didn't matter. Frenzy was in the background because he had the same voice actor and they didn't want to confuse you. But like I and like they've never really had distinct characters in any real medium. IDW tried a little bit with the Bumblebee series, but that just did not go well. No. Frenzy has drills and is killing cows. Why? I don't know.
Yep.
Doesn't like milk, I suppose. He's lactose intolerant. So I am very much like, I'm more concerned about like flip sides, a Rosanna, than I am about Frumble.
Okay. If you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, etc., what would it be and what story would you want to tell with it?
I've actually got one idea I'm kind of super tempted to try submitting for a comic strip, if I'm completely honest. Or comic script, rather. But so I won't say anything about that. But it may never happen, but it's always good to have an idea in the back of your head. I would really like, and this is something I don't think will ever happen, I would like if we could do a completely original character series. And I'd like it to be telling a story that is distinct. Like, ultimately, I think what I'd really like is for them to do an actual Transformers adult animated series. Because that's not about you going like, I want something to cater to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm super excited about the Cyberverse movies. What I mean is, there's a level of maturity and script writing you can just hit in a good piece of adult media that because of the limitations of an all ages audience, you can't. And I'm not talking about sex or violence. I'm talking about themes.
Right. Yeah.
Or doing like a proper horror story. And not like a jump scare thing. I'm talking about something like where you just feel the tension rise. Like, I've always wanted to basically see like a proper Transformers horror story, like a Hitchcock style, where just like, you know, the monster, you know, the classic thing, like, you know, the bomb's under the table, the audience, the characters don't. I like that kind of tension. So I would like, but that kind of like adult, we can touch on themes, we can touch on characterization, we can throw a bit of a budget at it and have like crazy action sequences. And we've never really gotten that because they always want to appear, even like the movies with like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they're all about appealing to like as wide an audience as possible. And like every time we've had an adult show announced, it's been immature. Mm-hmm. Or like War for Cybertron says it's very dark, but in practice it's no darker than like the darker parts of animated or Prime. In fact, I say Prime is darker by a fair margin. And I want to see ideas like how this war started, explored in a mature way that's not limited by having to be a monthly comic book that has to get to this point. Do a political drama about the Transformers that is a season long, like a 12-episode season, and this is the beginning, this is the end, one linear story. Mm-hmm. I would love to see something like that. Like, and you could have action, you could have drama, mystery, romance, whatever. Like, also, I'd like a bit more romance in Transformers, because I think we need to stop being ashamed of the fact they're basically just people.
True, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Sometimes the mandates that come from on high confuse me about every franchise. But, I'd like something that, I don't know, it's weird. I would have said years ago that I would have gone with the Mord Meets the Eye as a movie, but that would have to be Netflix these days.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about giving Netflix more Transformers original content.
It's interesting how the two companies between Mattel and Hasbro, how they approach the things differently for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like, Hasbro doesn't want to give them a budget for unionized voice actors, whereas Mattel throws everything in the kitchen sink at Kevin Smith, and he throws everything that he can at all of his friends, and that's fine. It is what it is, whatever. But I've said this in other episodes, I'll say it again. I would love to see, not necessarily, because you can't get all the old voice actors back, because they're all either going to retire or not something. A lot of them aren't even with us anymore. You know, may they all rest in peace, those who are no longer with us. But I would love to see a 2D 1980s animated Transformers G1 styled show again. I want that animation style back. Basically, you take what Revelation has and apply it to Transformers.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. And as far as Hasbro goes and the higher ups and whatever, may the man rest in peace. Recently, we just got the news that Brian Goldner passed away, the CEO of Hasbro. So it's going to be interesting to see whomever takes over and what their vision is going to be for the next 40 years of this franchise. Mm. Good Lord. All right, final question. What is the one piece of advice you'd give the Transformers fandom and Transformers collectors in general?
If I'm honest, it's not about you. And I mean that in every sense. Whether you're talking about who the toys are made for, whether you're talking about who the shows are made for, whether you're talking about whether a show is inclusive or exclusive for for different types of people or different backgrounds or different genders or races or whatever. Always take the perspective of thinking of it from the perspective of thinking of it of that badly phrased. Always think about it from the perspective of the person next to you, because how you see it is never going to be the right one. None of us are right. There is no right way for the franchise to do something. How I feel about the primary designs is not the right feeling. It is my feeling. And as much as I can say whatever I like in a podcast or everything else, when I'm interacting with people, I have to be aware that the person next to me is not going to think the same thing I think.
Right.
Which is, especially in the internet, is absent. We all surround ourselves with these little internet bubbles of people who agree with us, which means that we all get very tribal when we're introduced to new opinions or distinct ones. So if someone doesn't mind leaks, or if someone is really upset by leaks, ye both need to be able to sit in the same room and respect each other enough not to have a fight over whether a toy is leaked on the internet or not. Third party official, exact same thing. Some people would argue passionately that third party is immoral, and others would argue passionately that third party is highly moral. You all need to grow up. Don't pick on minority opinions. I remember how worked up some people got when RC was finally made fully transgender. Not the original Simon Furman idea, but when John took over. And right. I know some of the people who actually helped with him sort of develop the route the character went, especially at the end. And I saw people who were both very anti-transgender and very pro-transgender get upset, by the way. One was convinced that John didn't know what he was talking about, and was just like, no, he didn't write this bit. This was like what he was told to write by a transgender person. So obviously there's a little, clearly, like, not everyone's working from the same script here, but and I don't know. It's a weird thing for me. As someone who I feel has grown out of the emotionally invested to the point of this being personal when it doesn't go my way. I say that after the whole, like I said, I had a weird emotional moment over the Prime redesigns, but I think we'll all do better and we'll all respect each other more if we do look at it from the perspective of the person who does enjoy what you like or who does hate what you like. Whatever, yeah. You know? Just be decent to each other. It's the internet. Like, it's so easy to cause offense. It's so easy to hurt someone, even if you don't mean to. And it's so easy to hurt someone and mean it because it's a voice in the internet and they're not real to you.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Except for the voices on podcasts, which are actually real because people can hear them.
Yes, I'm real. This is a recording he made. You can get an app that does this voice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just talking to himself.
Or you can get an app that does this voice.
That way you too can be hired to impersonate Peter Cullen in the next Transformers show.
I'm Ironhide. I ain't got no head.
Please let that be a lion.
My brother Ratchet, he ain't got no head either.
I ain't got no head, boss. Prime, my head done fall off. Where my head, Prime?
Oh, Lord.
Why don't I have a head? You keep showing me pictures of Ironhide with a head, but I don't have no head, Prime.
It was 40 years ago. Get over it.
When I wanted that one Hasbro guy who came up with the idea, like, we're going to put a sticker right here.
Yeah. That's your face, and it disappears unless you touch it.
Yep.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for us here on All Things Transformers, this time around with the Origins. I believe the next Origins episode I have is Patriot Prime. Patriot Prime reviews on YouTube. I think he is going to be the next one. I'm not sure. As I said, at some point in early November, I will have an interview with Vince DiCola and Kenny Meredith as the Transformers The Transformers Devastation score gets released November 5th, 2021. So stay tuned for all of that. Steve Megatron will be back for some sort of weird Beast Wars Megatron Christmas thing or something. I don't know what the heck he's doing.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Well, it's been party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
The Powers of Grayskull series has covered every episode of all of the Masters of the Universe cartoons except for two. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become Masters in Space, evolve into the Masters of Grayskull, and finally reveal the revelation of Masters of the Universe. We'll also be finding out the origins of how guests got into or out of watching the Masters of the Universe cartoons, and so much more. You can find the podcast at geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
He-Man! Always He-Man!
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Let's do it!
Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for the network Twitter, at All Things TFV3 for the show. I am at TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
You can find me in Irish Paleo or the Moonbase 2. And you can also listen to us on Moonbase 2 at Libsyn.com. And we also have Patreon, where we do extra stuff, but I won't bother you with that. You can do it on yourself. I'm not the boss of you.
I'm sure it'll be in the show notes somewhere. You can also find Moonbase 2 over on Facebook, as well as the Geekcast Radio Network and All Things Transformers. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
I'm Mackie.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us next time here on All Things Transformers.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.
Justice for Knockout.
Justice? What justice?
He's great.
Yeah, he's great, but what justice do you need for him?
I just need justice for Knockout. Why are you trying to ruin this for me?
I'm not trying to ruin anything. I'm trying to understand.
I'm feeling undermined here. I'm feeling undermined.
Undermined? How?
I made a very clear statement.
Justice for Knockout. Why does he need justice?
This is going to be juicy.
Justice for Knockout. And the one thing I did forget to mention in the recording, even though I'm still recording all of this, the one thing I did forget to mention when you were talking about Knockout was, yeah, it's really weird that Cosmo is Knockout. I love it that it is, but it's really weird. I have a hard time separating the two because obviously Darren voiced both characters.
Yep.
Cosmo is the crazy version of Knockout, and that's kind of weird. All right, I'm going to stop this before we get into any more trouble.